This Wednesday is the 50th anniversary of the great speech that was made by Martin Luther King in the year 1963. Martin Luther King led a march to the Abraham Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and many people gathered there with Martin Luther King, and he gave a short speech. And I'm sure that most of us, probably all of us, know the title of that speech. I have a dream. I have a dream. And here's what Martin Luther King said that day. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And he was quoting, by the way, from the Declaration of Independence. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Now, the reason why I mention Martin Luther King, not just because of the anniversary on Wednesday, but because of the Bible verse that he quoted from. Because in the last part of his speech, he quoted from Isaiah chapter 40 and the words that are found there in verses 4 and 5. And by the way, Martin Luther King was a Baptist minister, just in case you didn't know that. So he was a child of God. He was a Christian man. But he quoted from Isaiah chapter 40, and you know, I began to think about it over the weekend. And I began to think about the lessons that we can learn from these verses. And I began to think about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have it here. We have a description of what happens whenever souls are saved, whenever the gospel comes. Here is what happens. And I trust that God will help us and bless us today as we get down to the nuts and bolts of these verses. And may the Holy Spirit speak to us today. We trust the Holy Spirit will take the sword of the Spirit with its two edges. There's an edge for you and an edge for me. And I trust that God will speak to us this morning. And if you're not saved, or if you're backslidden and you're like the prodigal, you're in the far country away from the Lord, you're following the Lord afar off, I trust that this will be the day when you will return to Him. But you'll notice here that we have, I suppose you could say, like a giant roadworks operation. You could call this God's roadworks, if you like. And first of all, if I can put it like this, you have God's bulldozer. Because there's a bulldozer we find here at the beginning of verse 4. The prophet says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. So focus, please, on those five words. Every valley shall be exalted. Every valley shall be exalted. There's God's bulldozer. You see, John the Baptist was the fulfillment of this verse. And there was a day whenever John the Baptist began his ministry. And he cried these same words, every valley shall be exalted. And what these words actually mean is that those who are down in the depths of despair and degradation, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to lift them up. Those who are right down in the gutter of sin, Jesus loves to pour his mercy out upon them and to lift them up and to set them in heavenly places with himself. And so if you're in the service today and that's the way that you are, if you're right down in the dump spiritually, if your life is a mess spiritually, I want to tell you that Jesus is able to lift you. And I'm not going to say tomorrow or next week, today. Right here and now, he's able to lift you. The valley can be exalted. You're down in the valley of sin. And Jesus, the friend of sinners, wants to lift you up. And maybe there's a Christian, maybe there's a child of God in the service today, discouraged, depressed. You're down in the valley. Well, the Savior can lift you today, and he can lift you out of your discouragement. He can lift you out of the slough of despond. Every valley shall be exalted. There's no one who is too far away from God to be saved. There's no one who is outside the reach of the nail-pierced hand of Jesus Christ. My, what a privilege it was to go out into the open air yesterday at the Foyle Pride Parade and to be able to share the gospel with those precious souls. And I tell you, friends, you know, when you look on them and they wave their rainbow flags and they've got their rainbow banners and it all appears to be so nice and happy and rosy, but I tell you, they're right down in the very gutter. If only they knew it. If only they realized just how far down they are in the sight of a holy God. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to lift them up. And you know, that's the reason why we went out into the open air yesterday. People were driving past and they were walking past and they were, you know, calling us all the names of the day. But you learn to put up with that. But, you know, you've got to go forth and share this good news with them. How can we remain silent? It's like the four lepers outside the city of Samaria that we read of in the book of 2 Kings. And you know what they said? We do not well. This is a day of glad tidings and we hold our peace. The Lord is saying to the church today, you've got to get out. Mind you, there's a lot of people don't bother going out. There's a lot of Christians in Ulster today, and I tell you, they're happy enough to get inside the four walls of the church and to sing airy, fairy, dreamy songs about, oh, I love you, I lift your name up, I praise you, Lord, and all this, and it's just airy, fairy stuff. But you ask them to get out and to share the gospel with those who are down in the gutter of sin, not a hope. Or they'll run a mile. You'll not see them for dust. You know, the Lord says, church, I want you to get out there where the people are degraded and depressed and in despair and in the chains of sin. And I want you to tell them that I can lift them. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. There's a young fella came over to us after the open air, and you know he looked rough, and he had tattoos all over his body. But you know he came over to inquire what we were there for. Now he wasn't a part of the parade. I don't know where he was, but he kind of came out of the ether, you'd say, just out of the blue after the open air. And he walked over and said, what were you doing here today? I explained we were there to tell people about Jesus. And then he turned and he said, well, that's a good, I'm glad you're doing that and all the best in your work. And he turned and he walked away. And then I realized I have tracts in my pocket. So I pulled out one of the Trinitarian Bible Society tracts and I said, excuse me, would you take this? Would you like this? So he came back and he received the word of God. You pray for that young man. It's amazing how the Lord works, you know. He brings people to you in ways that you don't even expect. And there's a young man. He's down in the valley. I don't know. Maybe he's thinking about taking his own life. For there's a lot of people like that today. As far as they're concerned, there's no purpose to life. They've been brought up in broken homes and the whole thing's a mess. And it just comes to the point where they believe the devil's lie and they just say, there's no point in all. The best way is just to end it and I'll just get out of my suffering and there'll be no more pain. But you see, the Lord is able to lift them out of the valley. And my, how we need young men like that to be converted and washed in the blood and to be raised up and to be made pillars in the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, that God in our little country would raise the valleys. Oh, that every valley would be exalted. But you know, you notice not only is there this exalting of the valley, but then there's the second phrase that speaks about the mountains and the hills. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Now, by the way, this is the bulldozer. I made the mistake. First one is lorry, if you like, for God's roadworks. The lorry that fills up and exalts the valley. Here's the bulldozer. Because we're thinking here of pride. You see, John the Baptist here, he cries out against pride. And he says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. One of the banners that was displayed at the gospel outreach yesterday is from Proverbs chapter 16. And it simply said, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, what's it called? Foil pride. Gay pride. They're full of pride. But this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that those who are proud are an abomination to Him. The proud heart is an abomination to Him. Our government and the leaders of our nation welcome these people and exalt these people and exalt their sin. But the Lord actually says that this sin and this pride associated with their sin, it's an abomination. It's a stench in His nostrils. And you know, whenever the gospel comes to a sinner and whenever that sinner is converted, the mountain is brought low, the hill is brought low, the pride is brought down. The first place that a person must get to if they're to be genuinely saved is that humility takes over and pride disappears. And you know, if you're to be saved today, if you're to get right with God today, the first place you need to get to today is to understand that you're absolutely nothing. You need to realize that in the sight of a holy God, you're nothing. And then whenever you realize your nothingness, then the Lord can make something of you and He can do miracles in your life. Remember what happened at creation? In Genesis chapter 1, God made all things out of nothing. And what does He do in the new creation whenever He saves a sinner and makes them a new creature in Christ? He's still got to work with nothing. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. It's just as if we have here God's bulldozer coming along to these mountains and just bulldozing them out of the way. And that's where we had to start yesterday as we preached in the open air. You know, you can't just stand up and say Jesus loves you. Because they'll just laugh at you and they'll just think, well, sure, what odds? That's good to know. Thanks for sharing that. But what relevance has that to me?
You need to first get the bulldozer out and you show people their sin and their need of Christ.
And then, of course, you get people, you know the type of people I'm talking about. They love to pour a bucket of cold water on your enthusiasm and your zeal, and they say, well, sure, what are you going out there and making a big fuss about the gay pride? Sure, why are you making a difference between sins? Sure, is sin not sin? Sure, what are you going out there for? You know, and the whole idea is that, well, you're just picking and choosing between sins. Well, all I can say is, have you ever seen a group of drunkards parading, exalting their sin? You ever see a march with drunkards and alcoholics waving banners and flags and saying, oh, drunkenness is great? Did you ever see that? Did you ever see a group of drug addicts going out onto the street and waving placards and signs that say, oh, heroin's great, ecstasy's great? Did you ever see gamblers marching on the streets of our country, waving their flags and shouting at the top of their voice with a megaphone, oh, it's great to gamble, go on into the bookies. But why is it that the sodomites do this? And then you have these Christians and they say, just don't bother. There's probably about 20 people, 20 Christians came yesterday to the open air. Now, I know that there's a lot of people who just physically couldn't come. There was one dear man and he phoned up to say he was intending to come, but just because of circumstances and because illness and sickness had hit the family, he wasn't able to come. But he'd have been there if he could have come, if he could have been. But you see, friends, the tragedy is that because Christians won't come out and stand up for Jesus, the tragedy is that the mountains are still there, that the hills are still there and they haven't been brought down. And men and women don't see their need. They don't realize their need of Christ. Aye, pride, it's everywhere. There was a dear lady who came over actually from the other side yesterday, and she came over with her flag, waving her rainbow flag. She actually came over, as far as I could see, she came over to taunt the preacher and try to disturb him and to disrupt him. But you know, we need to pray for people like that. Pray that the Spirit of God will open their eyes. Pray that the Spirit of God will bring light into their darkness. Pray that the Spirit of God will reveal to them their pride. Oh Lord, oh God, I'm so proud. I've been standing up for pride for years, but Lord, I'm a sinner and I deserve hell and I'm unclean and undone in your sight. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Will you pray that that lady will realize her pride and that she'll humble herself and seek Christ? Will you pray for all those people who heard the gospel yesterday? You see, really in this verse, we have a leveling process. Whenever the Lord says every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low, it's just as if there's the leveling. The bulldozer levels the whole ground. Is that not what happens in the gospel? Is that not what the Bible teaches about man's need of Christ? You know, at the end of the day, the Lord just has us all on a level playing field. The Lord makes no distinction. There's no difference, as the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, God just levels it all out. And the good news of the gospel is that the rich man has no advantage over the poor man. And the man who is in the university has no advantage over the man who sweeps the streets. There's no difference.
Doesn't matter what our background, what our occupation, doesn't matter what kind of situation and circumstances we find ourselves in. As far as God is concerned, we're all exactly the same, and we all have the same need of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are all equally lost. So first of all, you have, as it were, the divine lorry. It's like this articulated lorry coming along to fill up the valley, to exalt the valley. And then you've got the divine bulldozer, as it were, comes along to remove pride. But then you see the prophet goes on to say that the crooked shall be made straight. The crooked shall be made straight. Whenever we were traveling down to Mayo last week, I never drove on such a crooked road. I never saw such a bendy road. It just seemed to be that most of the way, especially after Enniskillen, it was right down to Sligo. It was just like bendy the whole way, bends. And there was, on a number of occasions, you were just waiting to go out over the edge of the verge. It was so crooked and so bendy. And then somebody said to me, you should have gone by Dublin, for the road's better. Go by Dublin, then cut across to Mayo. Well, we'll know that for the next time. But it was crooked. You know, every one of us by nature are crooked. You've heard me say that we're just like a corkscrew. I've said that before, I'll say it again. Every one of us by nature, we're just so twisted. We're so bent. We're so depraved. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to make the crooked straight. Has he straightened you out? Oh, those people yesterday who were waving their flags and they were shouting at the top of their voice their expletives and their obscenities. Yes, those people are crooked. But so are you. You need Jesus just as much as they do. Now, whenever I was at school, I wasn't very good at woodwork. Woodwork was one class that I despised. I just hadn't the slightest gift for working with wood. And you know, we had a woodwork teacher. And he would come along, he'd tell you what to do, and then he'd go away for half an hour, and he'd come back. And he'd come back to check what you'd done and to investigate how you'd get on. And you know, he used to hold my piece of work up. And you know, do you know what he used to say? He said, Campbell, that's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And of course the whole class laughed and I got a very red face. So if you ever want me to build you a table or a dresser, no, not a good idea. Go to somebody else. Whenever I tried to keep things straight, they went crooked. But isn't that what we're all like? Crooked. We want to do what's wrong. Sin comes naturally to us. God tells us to go in one direction. Guess what we do? We fly in the other direction. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who can make the crooked straight. He made Zacchaeus straight. Sure wasn't Zacchaeus crooked and dishonest in his dealings? But the Lord Jesus came to Jericho one day and he straightened Zacchaeus out. And you know, he straightened people out down through the centuries. And the mark of a true Christian, by the way, is that they are straightened out. If you're genuinely saved, the dishonest dealings will go. All the forgery and all the hypocrisy, it'll go. It's a sign of a person who's been genuinely converted that they want to get things right and they want to make restitution. You see, the Lord Jesus straightens people out. And then when he straightens us out, then we shine as lights so that other people will be straightened out too. We read in Philippians chapter 2 that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So we have God's articulated glory, as it were, coming along to fill up the valley, exalt the valley. Then we have God's bulldozer coming along to get rid of pride. And then we find, as it were, you could say that it's God's digger, isn't it? It's like his JCB coming along to dig and to make the crooked straight. To straighten the road. To dig through the mountain. To dig through the trees. To dig through the rubble. And to make the road straight. But then finally, I believe you could say you have God's steamroller. You have God's steamroller. Because it tells us here in Isaiah chapter 40 that the rough places will be made plain. The rough places will be made plain. It's speaking here about a road where you've got bumps and potholes. And you know what it's like when you come to a pothole in the road and you didn't realize it was there, and you're maybe going at the right speed and you bang into it and you almost feel as if the car's going to break in half. And or you hit a bump. Well, that's the idea here. This is a picture of a rough place. But you see, the gospel comes to a fallen world, to a lost world, and it makes the place plain and smooth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into the world to take violent, rough, crude people and to transform them by his grace and to make them into stalwarts, to make them into preachers and to make them into teachers and to totally change them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to turn a sinner into a saint. He's able to take the roughest of individuals and he's able to make them into something beautiful. We sometimes talk about rough diamonds. So-and-so's a rough diamond. He's a rough diamond. She's a rough diamond. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ loves to take rough diamonds and he loves to make them glisten. He can do that for you. Because maybe today in the service you say to yourself, that's me, Pastor. I'm a rough diamond. If you only knew about what I've been through and the things that I've been involved in, the things that I've dabbled in, I'm rough. Well, Jesus can make you plain. He can make you smooth. He can make you into something beautiful and something that will bring glory and honor to him. I often think of the centurion at the cross. He was a rough man, without a man with a very, very rough, crude temperament, but yet there as he stood at the cross and he looked at the cross of Christ, and as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ take the sins of the world upon himself, he cried out, truly, this was the Son of God. And that man was gloriously converted that day. The very roughest of individuals, you know, if you would have thought anybody wasn't going to be saved, it was that man. Oh, he was a hard individual. No doubt he had been used to nailing thousands of people to Roman crosses, but there was something different about this cross. And the bleeding, dying Savior somehow melted that man's heart that day. And there, as the blood fell from the cross,
That precious blood cleansed that centurion from all his sin. And it's nearly 2,000 years later, but that precious blood hasn't lost any of its power.